You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and we are here again with we got quite a bit of news. A lot of Guardians of the Galaxy information starting to come out since they've started filming, and a doubleheader of Agent Carter this week. So, without further ado, how goes it with you, John?
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's whatever, but hey.
is it a whatever right now, or?
Yeah, you know, it's since we're recording Sunday night, you know, the knowledge that tomorrow is Monday and the new work week is always kind of like,
Yeah, we're recording late on a Sunday night, which is kind of unusual for us, but.
Because I had just a crazy week with something every single night last week.
Exactly, yeah. It's been super busy. Normally, right now, this is the point where I go into a panic and get everything done that I should have done during the day. Mm-hmm. But I've been sitting on my butt recording podcasts for the last couple of hours. So yeah, that's where.
So you're in the mood for it.
yeah. That's it. All right, so we had quite a few bits of information come out. As I said, Guardians of the Galaxy has just started filming here in Atlanta. They had been doing, you know, location shooting and some rehearsals and stuff, but apparently they've just started principal photography. And we've got a couple of casting announcements. One of them is Pom Klementieff. Is that how you would say that?
Let me see here.
It looks like Klementieff.
Klementieff, maybe?
Klementieff, yes.
I'm not too terribly familiar
her
with her.
Her name is Palm, anyway. So tell
yes,
us.
I know she was in, I believe she was in The Raid, which was a Korean film about, you know, the police raiding this building full of criminals. It kind of, if you've seen Punisher Warzone, it kind of takes. Mm-hmm. Punisher Warzone takes a lot
kind of
from
thing.
That.
So she's going to be playing a character named Mantis. Can you tell us anything about that character in the MCU?
Yes, a little bit. Mantis started off actually as a member of the Avengers, and she is, it's a hard way to explain. She's kind of a half-human, half-alien hybrid, and she's a figure who in the comics lore is also known as the Celestial Madonna, basically means that her child is supposed to be basically Space Jesus.
So it's Space Madonna is what you're saying.
Essentially, yeah.
Wow, interesting.
I mean, as Celestial Madonna, you don't get much more of an explanation than that, and she's very, being an Asian character created during the 1970s and 80s, she's very skilled in
martial arts,
but
right.
She's also kind of got like a higher sense, kind of like a precognition sort of power.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So she's kind of in touch with the universe in a way.
Right. Because that's what we did with Asian characters in the 70s. Yeah. Okay, cool. We've also confirmed that Kurt Russell is going to be in it. We have not technically confirmed who he is going to be playing, though.
Yeah, considering the talks were saying, oh, he's going to be Peter Quill's dad, and we know from James Gunn that this movie is going to be about Peter Quill's father, that it's easy to confirm that that's who he's going to be playing. But beyond that, and who he really is and what that means, is still very much a mystery.
Right, right, exactly. So, and we don't know for sure that that's who he's playing. It's certainly a reasonable guess,
yes.
But that hasn't been explicitly confirmed. But at the same time, yeah, he's James Gunn has come out and talked a little bit about what the movie's going to focus on. And obviously that if it's focusing on him and you just cast a very big name, that seems like that's logical.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you know, it sort of makes you wonder with a character like Mantis, how is that going to play into the story of Peter Quill's father? So
I don't know, but, you know, she is beyond her time in the Avengers, mm-hmm. at least when Abnett and Lanning started kind of crafting the current cosmic Marvel universe,
mm-hmm.
they put her on the Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
and now she is still part of that universe, even though she's with what they call the Guardians of Nowhere, which is that big celestial head that we saw in the first movie.
Okay.
This is a group that now kind of polices Nowhere.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Nowhere being the name of the head.
Right, exactly. So that all sounds very cool. We've been, those of us who are local to Atlanta, have been completely losing our minds over the fact that it looks like James Gunn is stopping in on a weekly basis to Oxford Comics. So that's yeah. pretty cool. You would think someone as cool as him would just, you know, get the stuff sent directly to his house. But
yeah, but, you know, James Gunn is one of us, and he likes
exactly.
to be able to go out and do these things, like the normal stuff. And if you follow him on Instagram or Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you know, he'll just randomly take selfies and pictures of himself around
right.
Atlanta.
Right. And that's pretty incredibly cool. So I've actually never gone to see him, because he's been to Dragon Con a couple of times now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's been once.
Okay.
I assume that he'll probably be back again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they announced him and Sean yet, but it seems incredibly likely that both Gunn brothers would be there this year.
Yeah, he just seems like a very, very cool, very genuine kind of guy. So I'm looking forward to what they do with the new Guardians movie.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be exciting.
So speaking of rumors and interpretation and things like that,
mm-hmm.
We've said on this show, and it's been talked about a great deal, as to whether or not Hulk was going to be in Civil War.
Right.
And Mark Ruffalo, you know, Robert Downey Jr. was saying that he was, and then Mark mm-hmm. Ruffalo said, no one's told me about this. Then they flew Mark Ruffalo to Germany where they were filming, and then
right.
shortly after that they said, oh, well, we were going to, but we changed our minds.
Yeah.
And now
I mean, we know, because we know that they filmed stuff with him,
mm-hmm.
but then what we'd heard after that was, well, they decided not to use it.
Right. But we've got a quote now from there was an interview done with I'm trying to figure out who this actually was. I guess it was Anthony Mackie, who was doing a promo for another movie, and somebody asked him what, you know, if he had seen a cut of Civil War,
mm-hmm.
and he said, having seen the movie, it's Marvel's best movie so far,
mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. I feel like the story is very concise and interesting, and you
right.
get to see Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson and Mark Ruffalo and everybody just do really, really good acting. So now the rumor is going about that them saying that
mm-hmm.
he wasn't going to be in the movie was a fake out, and that Anthony Mackie just kind of blew it.
And I think Anthony Mackie has done this like a couple of times
mm-hmm.
when he's let something slip that he wasn't supposed to.
Right. So maybe he's in there, maybe he's not. We will have to wait and see how it goes.
Yeah, and what I loved was he was doing that interview, I think it was for the movie 999,
mm-hmm.
and I think he had Chiwetel Ejiofor with him.
Uh-huh.
And they were kind of like, well, they were asked, like, what's going to be the better movie, Civil War or
right.
Doctor Strange? And even Anthony Mackie was saying, oh, Doctor Strange is going to be something totally different and amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was, you know, he was saying that it's going to be the Civil War is going to be the best thing they've done so far. But mm-hmm. I think
yeah, Doctor but he Strange said like Doctor Strange would be yeah, yeah, he said like Doctor Strange would be the best thing this year.
Right. Right. Exactly. So yeah. So that's exciting. Another possible slip up of somebody at a convention was Portland Wizard Con this weekend. Elizabeth Henstridge, what? Who plays, of course, Simmons. They were asking her about Brett Dalton playing Grant Ward and what had happened to him, and she said, and I quote, "Watching him, Dalton, play Hive is interesting. He has the memories of the people he has killed." So that was one of the things that was thrown out as a possibility for what mm-hmm. could have happened to Ward. But what can you tell us about Hive in the comics?
Hive is more of a kind of a minor character, usually affiliated with Hydra. Mm-hmm. Hydra was their attempt to kind of create the perfect symbol for their order. And it's essentially, it's a collection of parasites that possesses a host body,
mm-hmm.
Gives it super strength and all that good stuff. But it was really, in the comics, much more of a minor villain, even within Hydra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're giving it a lot more prominence with War, and he's obviously not taking on the exact physical appearance that Hive does in the comics,
being right.
all slithery slugs covering his body.
But probably... It's something obviously he can animate a corpse like they did with Will, but it seemed like, you know, that there's a lot more than just you know, if we assume the stuff that we saw on the planet, you know, like creating dust storms and things like that. It sounds like he's got more going for him than just being yes. a bag of parasites. So
and at the same time it the bodies that he possesses still manage to decompose. I mean, we didn't see what he looked like before he killed Will.
Right.
But even like after he'd killed Will, it was clear that, you know, Will's body was decomposing and the wound that, that Hive inflicted on him was mm-hmm. festering.
Right.
And even with, what we've seen of Ward so far being possessed by Hive, mm-hmm. he's got a very gaunt look, and
yes.
it looks like his body is in fact breaking down.
Yeah, exactly. The one picture that I've seen several places, he's very gaunt. He looks kind of bruised, and he has his ribs are very prominent to the point that it looks almost like possibly like physically transformed as opposed to just. Actually, I'm looking mm-hmm. at the picture right now, and I just realized that you can see part of the bruising.
Yeah.
It looks like it's the handprint of
Coulson's handprint from where he pressed his chest.
Wow, that's pretty harsh, but and yet awesome, too.
And if he has all of Ward's memories, he's going to remember that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's going to be very interesting. The other thing that I wanted to just touch on was there was a MCU Exchange had an interview with, or at least they were citing an interview with Clark Gregg and talking about mm-hmm. how Coulson has changed. And there's a lot of good stuff in there, and I'm going to have that linked in the show notes. But I thought it was interesting because something we and a lot of people had talked about was what that look was. You know, when mm-hmm. after they get back and there's just this look that goes back and forth between Fitz and Coulson. And the quote that he had about that was, when Coulson did kill Ward, the only witness to the event was Fitz. They went mm-hmm. on to share a long look when they returned with a new and stronger connection seeming to be formed.
Yeah, and I mean, they both really lost something to Ward, and of course now they're the only ones that know that Coulson killed Ward.
Right.
So they've got that stronger bond in common based on what he has done to them and what Coulson had to do to stop him.
Right, right, absolutely. And, you know, mm-hmm. that was such a well-played moment because it just seems like everybody who saw it got something a little bit different out of it
right.
in terms of you know was it saying you know, Simmons doesn't need to know about this. Was it, know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas kind of thing, or what? But
I don't know. We'll find out in March if they ever tell anybody.
Right. Well. Obviously, we know that Ward / Hive is going to be back. So,
right.
I guess we'll see how they address that. But he talks about the fact that, you know, Coulson has turned a corner. I mean, he's been a government man, and obviously he's killed people before, but that was a very personal murder, just straight up murder. And it'll be interesting to see how
it was cold-blooded.
It certainly was. So so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, obviously, I think he's still going to be, and something they talk about in there is he's still going to be the director, but it almost makes you think that he longs for back when he was able to be a field agent, you know, as opposed to being the person who has to make all the difficult decisions and so on.
Yeah, not a lot of people like holding on to that position. I mean, we've seen Mac be uncomfortable with it, even though he did a great job, and the same for May.
Mm-hmm.
Was uncomfortable with it, even though she did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you kind of long for the simplicity of not being the one to give the orders.
Right.
And just to be able to go out and do.
Yeah, and that's, you know, on the one hand, it seemed like Fury was very comfortable with that,
mm-hmm.
but then you can also look at it and say, yeah, but he's the kind of person that shouldn't have that power when you look at some of the decisions that he made in terms of, you know, having the, you know, the helicarrier program, and, you know, hiding things from the Avengers and the way that he was manipulative and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll see how that goes, but I think it will be interesting no matter what. And I always love hearing what actors, you know, what's going on in their head in terms of mm-hmm. where a character is going. And then the other thing is we've had a little bit of promotional stuff coming out for Daredevil, which is going to be coming out pretty quickly now. I think it's in March, right?
Yeah, and we've still got we got the first part of a trailer. We've still got the other one that we're waiting on.
Mm-hmm.
Um,
and we've gotten some motion posters that don't really tell us a lot, but
yeah, and we've seen a little teaser trailer or teasers for the two trailers. One in which we see Matt chained up.
Right.
And we've seen the still photographs, so we know Punisher's the one who did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is that whole scene in Daredevil is going to be one where Frank basically makes Matt watch him kill a gangster.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The interview that I'm looking at here with Charlie Cox, he talks about how in the first series, it was very much that there was a clear division between Matt and Daredevil, that he would just put on the mask and that would give him sort of permission to go out and do whatever he wanted. And
mm-hmm.
that in this season, we're going to be looking at, you know, where is the line between, Matt Murdock, the lawyer, and Daredevil. And he points out the fact that, you know, it's, you know, if he's just being Matt Murdock and a fight breaks out, what's he supposed to do? You know, you can't just, you know, go and start kicking people's butt because then he's blown his cover. I mean, he's kind of unusual in that he's one of the only, in fact, he may be the only MCU hero that has a secret identity that he's actually trying to keep secret.
I mean, that's pretty much it. Everybody else is very public with their identities. I mean, maybe like Clint Barton, even though he's not really like in the public, so to speak, he doesn't hide behind a mask really. Everyone knows Steve Rogers is Captain America.
Right.
Everyone knows Tony Stark is I am Iron Man.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, Black Widow's had all her files and stuff dumped mm-hmm. out onto the internet, so everybody knows her.
And it's not like Thor has a secret identity at all.
Right.
So yeah,
Donald?
He's...
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so yeah. it's he's in a very different position. Obviously, we're going to eventually have Spidey as part of the MCU, but he's really the first person that we've got that's trying to keep his identity under wraps. You know, even Jessica Jones is, you know, she's not publicizing that she has superpowers, but she's also not trying to hide a particular identity. So that's an interesting thing for them to be exploring. And it still gives me chills thinking about the what was it, Murdoch versus what's Foggy's last name?
Nelson,
yeah, Murdoch versus Nelson episode of Daredevil was just gut-wrenching because it was, you know, it was him saying, you know, how could you hide this from me? You know, is anything you told me true? And mm-hmm. and that's been one of the highlights for me has been exploring that. So I'm really looking forward to what they end up doing with that.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think my favorite line so far in these trailers has been from Frank Castle and said, mm-hmm. "You're one bad day away from becoming me."
Absolutely. So,
and
yeah.
That's going to be, I think that's really what they've said the theme is going to be explored is how far will Matt go?
Yeah, what does it mean to be a hero? At one point, yeah. At what point are you a hero and at what mm-hmm. point are you a villain? And that's, you know, in a way, that's also going to be part of what we're talking about with Civil War, right? Is, you know, is, and I was just arguing with a friend of mine today about him saying that he thought that the whole idea of Civil War, that when it was done in the comics, it was just, you know, one of these big events, you know, that was a reason to get everybody involved and do crossovers and things like that, and that it wasn't, you know, so much genuinely plot-driven as saying we just need to have a big event and let's come up with contrived reasons for people to pick sides. And I completely disagree with that because I feel like this is exactly what we've been building towards for as long as we've had Captain America and Iron Man. You know, because of the things that they have gone through, they both started out as characters that you would expect to see on the opposite side, you know, mm-hmm. with obviously Captain America being, you know, standing for the American government and, you know, my country right or wrong, whereas Tony was, you know, privatized world peace and, you know, the suit and I are one and very individualistic.
Right.
Whereas by the time we get to this movie, they have switched sides, and I think that's one of the most exciting things about it.
Yeah, and it's very much a change in at least in Tony's personality,
mm-hmm.
and they've insinuated that a lot of that comes from him feeling responsible for Ultron,
which he absolutely is.
Yeah, you know, it's like we're mad scientists. Let's own it.
Yeah. So I think that I'm, you know, I'm super looking forward to it and I think it's going to be great. But yeah, so lots of cool stuff happening. We also had a little bit of video come out of, the filming of Doctor Strange.
Yes. There was a little bit, somebody, took their cell phone, managed to film a little bit of, the London streets, today. And we got to fully kind of see Benedict Cumberbatch in
the
his
costume,
Doctor Strange
yeah.
garb. We also got to see a little bit of Chiwetel Ejiofor as Baron Mordo.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't like it looks like the scene that was filmed is one. It looked like he was stooping over a body that he'd found,
mm-hmm.
and he and Mordo were talking. And it doesn't seem like they've gotten to the point in that scene where they are enemies yet.
Mm-hmm. So it's more they're just, you know, they're talking. It's not a fighty scene.
No.
But that's still, I mean, that's extremely cool. And Doctor Strange has a very distinctive look. And for him to be out looking like that in the middle of London, that's gonna be interesting. I look forward to seeing what they do with that. So, All right, cool. Well, then let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about a double episode of Agent Carter this week, which was The Life of the Party and Monsters.
Hey guys, it's Nick, and, well, time to talk movies. No, not that. How about something else? Much better. So, we had this idea for a small spin-off, a second podcast, if you will, where we would watch an entire movie series so we can compare them one-to-one.
My name is Bond.
Bond.
It's Bond.
Bond.
It's Bond.
It's Bond.
James Bond. Bond.
So every time Q goes...
I missed you. What a pity.
Yes, the legendary 007 wit. Or at least half of it.
I'm your new quartermaster.
We will watch it and compare them. From the highs...
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
To the lows.
I thought Christmas only comes once a year.
Tune in every other week as we compare every Bond girl, every plot, and every henchman on Mission Briefings, starting January 2016. Find Mission Briefing on iTunes or as part of the Myopia Defend Your Childhood feed.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and now we are going to be talking about a doubleheader of two episodes this week. We had The Life of the Party and Monsters, and they were both. It almost seems like it would have been weird to show these as separate episodes because they were so closely linked.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much, I think both episodes were very Dottie-centric.
Yes, very Dottie-centric and, mm-hmm. and dealing with that party and the after effects yep. of that.
And kind of Vernon Masters and especially Whitney growing in her powers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I guess Dottie is as good a place as any to get started with everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, these two episodes were very much focused on her. We've really not heard anything even about her since the beginning of the season. But this was pretty much all the stuff going on with the party and with her. And she and Agent Carter have really interesting chemistry, and it's good chemistry in terms of as rivals, and there's kind of a bit of a slash kind of thing going on there, I think.
Yeah, I think it's definitely from Dottie's perspective, because Dottie kind of takes the obsessive quality of their relationship up to a new height, even from season one where she broke in and put on the lipstick.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of season two, she's dressing like Peggy.
Exactly.
She's dyed her hair like Peggy.
Yep. So yeah, they definitely have a neat relationship. And for me, it was one of my favorite bits in this double episode was definitely when Carter comes in and she's doing the American accent, which I always think is funny because her American accent is flawless, unlike a lot of other people. But she comes in and she's like, well, I'm going to get, you know, you extradited, you know, peacefully as long as you'll do this for me. And Dottie basically calls her on it and said, right. Let's be honest here. I'm totally going to try and get away, and you're totally not going to extradite me. But let's do this anyway.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we see what the uselessness of extradition would be when she's been kidnapped and, you know, Vernon Masters is trying to torture her. He
right.
basically says, you know, you've kind of failed Stalin. He's not going to forget that if you go back.
That's very true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and she's just a great character, and she's just that actress is so magnetic. I mean,
yes.
the costumes in this were outstanding, but
yeah.
You know, anytime she is in a shot, your eyes are just pulled to her. She's just stunning looking.
And speaking of the costumes, I loved all the nods to Black Widow that were in her evening dress.
Yeah.
From the spider-looking brooch to the black and red color scheme. It really was trying to kind of call forward to what her program is and what it becomes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that was very cool, subtle kind of little thing there. I'm also just a huge fan of that period in terms of fashion, and I love the fascinator that she had, and then the one that Whitney had that covered half of her face. I thought that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it ended up being pretty cool to see her taking on the espionage role and Peggy sort of being behind the scenes on that.
Right.
And we got some fantastic Jarvis moments out of this episode.
Yes, especially with the jitterbug was my personal favorite.
Uh-huh.
And when they break in, like, who are you? Oh, I'm the distraction.
Yes. Exactly. But he had so many great moments. The thing where Thompson is talking to the blonde and he just sticks his head in. It's like, you're such a dork. Or when he's like taking off his glasses and yelling into his glasses.
Or when Dottie is trying to make her way to Thompson, kind of like a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Right.
And he has to kind of like corral her and get her away from
Yes, yes. That was very well done. Mm-hmm. The James Darcy's just, his physical comedy is just first rate.
Yes,
all
it's been
this.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's awesome. So let's see what else we got. We had a lot of stuff with Dr. Wilkes, who has just been kind of super boring up until this point, but he got a little bit more interesting. And I loved the scene when Dottie was there with him, and she figured out that he was non-corporeal. That was nice and subtle, but really well done.
Yeah, and, I had to love the scene where, after he built the cage for himself with Whitney's blood and he can be corporeal again, it's like, oh, God, now I'm starving.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna has, have you ever had Hungarian food? And he's like, I'll eat anything right now.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of Anna, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so sad.
It's that irony of Jarvis telling Anna, don't worry, I'll be okay, and then she's the one that gets shot.
Exactly. And a lot of people were making out that this was a Whedon kind of bait and switch kind of thing where they make you worried about one person and then it ends up being another person. But
also, I mean, this isn't a Whedon show,
yes.
So it's possible, even though her fate's left up in the air at the end of the episode, that she could be fine.
Yes, I think she's going to make it. But but either way, I think that it's going to really have an impact on Jarvis in terms of, both his, to what degree is he going to go vengeful and to what degree is he going to go, this is too risky. It will be interesting because, just him, for him, I think it's been a fun little lark, an adventure that he gets to do rather than being a butler. And I don't think it's really ever occurred to him that he could be putting her in danger, too.
And now it's serious.
Yeah. Shit just got real.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what an angry Jarvis looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... we also had some developments in terms of the relationship, or perhaps lack thereof, between Peggy and Sousa.
Right.
He was.
Yeah, they had the almost kiss that Jarvis overheard.
Yep. And it was. He was looking bad this episode. He was really looking not just guy slept on the couch bad, but super bad. But Yeah, the thing where they're in the van, the surveillance van, basically, mm-hmm. and they come so close to kissing. Oh,
so close,
God.
And then Dottie throws a guy out of a window, yep. and that's just it.
And 1940s technology is not as great as it is now, and their communications is completely shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it will, and I was actually a little surprised when she went in for the kiss with that, because it seems like if she wanted that, she has had so many opportunities to do that both last season and, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as she found out that they were breaking up. So that just seemed like a weird thing for
her. Yeah, but
her.
It's typical television, will they, won't they, and, you know,
yeah.
every time you get close, something else happens
right.
that prolongs it even further.
Right.
Which, I mean, I hope we don't really wait too long about that, especially if this Peggy or this Haley Atwell pilot ends up getting picked up.
Right, right. There's that. And, you know, there's also the question of, you know, once Dr. Wilkes gets solid, there definitely seemed to be at least a desire on his part. I just haven't really seen a lot of flirtation coming from Peggy. She's very married to her job.
Right.
But we'll see how that goes. It'll be interesting, though. In some ways, I think the most interesting character on the show right now, though, is Thompson, because
mm-hmm.
because he's very much somebody that could go either way. Is he going to go with the Vernon Masters side of things? Is he going
right.
to, you know, side with basically Hydra? Or is he going to come back around and be on the SSR side?
I think he's ultimately going to be one of the good guys, because we've already seen him lie to Masters about watching the video.
That's true. That's very true.
Or watching the film, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kind of the look he gives at the end of that party at Masters is kind of a, you know, like, I don't really trust you. You're
yeah.
up to something, and I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. I think at heart he's a good guy, mm-hmm. but he's a... It's interesting to see how things are going with him. I also thought it was a nice nod to a lot of popular culture stuff right now, as well as possibly Jessica Jones, that when he was flirting with that blonde at the bar just before
right.
Jarvis busted in, she said it was something along the lines of, "You're so much better looking when you smile."
Oh,
so
yeah, I can't hear that anymore without like wincing.
Yeah, and anything telling people to smile is just mildly creepy.
Mm-hmm.
but interesting to see it going the other direction from a woman to a man for a change. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit, in terms of Whitney's meltdown / takeover, I could definitely see that there was something was gonna go down, and that she was gonna end up blowing her stack. But I did not think that her husband was gonna be behind it.
Oh no, I totally figured he was gonna be behind it.
Really?
I'm sure he went to the. Like his phone call with the council in the previous episode.
Yeah.
That's like, we need to take care of her. She's threatening everything that we've been working for.
That's true. But those, I forget what it's called, those like poles with the thing on the end that they
yeah.
were using to try and catch her and hold her. That was nasty.
They grossly underestimated her reach, though.
Exactly. And she's getting, so she's got a lot of control over it, too, because she was able to take out specific people at that table and not take out others.
Right.
So that's pretty
well,
impressive.
Well, I find, one of the things I find funny is, you know, in the previous scene, Vernon Masters was getting on to Jack Thompson about letting
a
Peggy
female
boss
subordinate
him around.
Boss him yeah. around, yes.
And now who's in charge?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be interested to see if she does go full on Madam Mask by the end of it, because that crack in the side of her face just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's getting bigger.
Yep, the more she does it. Although it's funny because again, just from a theater and costuming standpoint, I thought it was very funny when she's like, I can't possibly go out like this. And then and then her husband goes and gets the Fascinator, which is an exact match for her dress. It's like, it's not just like some random hat that he pulls out. It's made of the same material as his as her dress. And he's like, well, what about
this? What coincidence is that?
I know, but...
Although, you know, you can imagine that Whitney's probably raided a few studio closets in her time.
Totally,
taking
I'm
some
sure.
things home with her.
I'm sure. But, but yeah, so a lot of interesting stuff going on. Do you have any, and we're down to, I think we've got another double episode coming up this week, and then the finale.
It's going to be some exciting stuff. I think we've covered most of the things that I can think about.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Howard coming back soon, because...
Oh, yeah.
I know that the actor has been off filming his own show, but he always adds something when we get him back. So, And of course, we're waiting to see what happens with Anna and everything. So I think we've got some good stuff to look forward to. So
everything is just building and getting more intense as we get down the line.
Exactly, and it's. That's one thing that I really like about these short-run series that, you know, unlike with S.H.I.E.L.D. where it just goes, it's continuing. You know, it's just there are story arcs, but they're very, very long, and it doesn't feel like things get resolved. I think with these shows like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Agent Carter, where you've got a more limited number of episodes, the plotting tends to be a lot tighter. Because they have to make sure that everything is advancing the plot enough to get everything in. So for ratings for this week, we are rating this on a scale of 1 to 5 flamingos, and on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever. How would you rate these two episodes?
Well, I'm definitely going with a 4.5. We're, like I said, we're ramping things up. Things are getting much more intense. The drama is increasing. The characterization is getting even better. Mm-hmm. So I just absolutely love this. It was just damn near perfect.
Very cool. Yes. I was going to give it a 4, but, when I went back and was rewatching it, it gets an extra half a point just for the costumes and for the music and the setting. You know, that's always been very good, but it really got to shine this time, seeing, you know, all the fancy dress for the party and everything. So, it's more interesting when we disagree, but it seems like we're agreeing on a lot lately.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, just everything's been great.
Yeah. It's been impressive. And, the other podcast that I do is a Doctor Who one, and that's something where we're often watching older episodes that are like 3 hours long, where you just feel like it's never going to end, and that you look at stuff and you go, there's so much filler in here.
It gets worse with the second and third Doctors. Everything comes back to about, you know, 4 episodes after that with Tom Baker.
Yeah, well, this was John Pertwee episode, The Mind of Evil, which you should all listen to our podcast on. But that was a long damn. It was a 6-parter, and
I mean, it could be worse. The War Games was 10.
Yes, War Games and one of the Day of the Daleks or one of those old Dalek ones. And that's obviously rough, but it was funny because I was watching that after having seen the double episode of Agent Carter this weekend or this week. And the thing is, it's not that much longer than a 2-hour thing of Agent Carter,
right. But
Agent Carter just, the pacing was so much better.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that if you watch 2 S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes back to back, I think that the pacing would be better on Agent Carter too.
Right.
It really is a shame because, you know, it's not doing great in the ratings, and and there's just not a lot of people watching it. But I really think that it's one of the most tightly plotted, you know, well-run shows on TV right now.
Right.
Alrighty, well, I guess that's about it for us for this week. As I said, next week we'll have another double episode, and hooray, hooray, it looks like I have a functioning computer again.
Yay!
So hopefully we'll get back to our regular once-a-week schedule once we get this one out. So that's about it for us for this week, and we will see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.